Can't wait for the fourth test between Australia and India to get underway tomorrow morning at the Gabba. And Australia, they are the red-hot favourites with the tab at the moment after a number of outs for the Indian side, including their star bowler, Jasper Bumrah. And it's great to have Bryce McGain along to preview that fourth test match. Hello, Bryce.
Good morning to you, Matt, and the listeners.
We'll get stuck into the preview in a moment, but I do want to start with an article that was written in the Herald Sun today by Tim Payne, and he has penned an open letter to his fans and the Australian public, addressing quite a few things that have happened over the last couple of days, and I'll just read you a couple of paragraphs. It says, "I was not the leader I should be. I pride myself on being the cool, calm, clear captain who has a positive effect on the mood of his teammates, not a negative one. People get agitated and angry in sport, and I've always seen my role as the one who diffuses that and gets them focused on what they need to do or what the team needs to do, needs them to do. For a moment there, I was that one. I wasn't as focused or as happy playing cricket as I usually am. I didn't make our team better, and that's my job." So a very honest Tim Payne writing in the Herald Sun today, Bryce. But the question I have for you, is Tim Payne still the right man to lead Australia in the coming years?
Yeah, look, I think he is. I think the self-awareness to be able to do that, to front the media straight away to address it, and then to write the open letter, I think it takes a lot of courage, and that's what good leaders have. They have courage in abundance, and I think he's handled it really well. It was a poor reflection of him as a cricketer, and he acknowledged that, and we all saw it. And it's not how we want the Australian cricket team to behave. Just his anger at an umpire, and you know, I think it's accumulation of things that have come. His dismissal at the MCG, and then he was angry at the inconsistencies of that. That was day two's behaviour. And then after missing a few chances, key chances on that last day, and Australia were presented with enough opportunities to win that game. They just didn't take them, and it was Tim Payne, because his mind was elsewhere with a bit of anger and frustration, and it had boiled over. It took him away from his best game. So, look, that's good leaders understand that. They understand how they perform at their best. They understand their role in the team as well. And he is that calm mind, the one that would generally, if someone gets a bit heated, will come over and put his wicket-keeping glove on their shoulder and just calm them down. And sometimes it's just a couple little quiet words and maybe a cheeky boyish smile that he would give another player that cools them down and gets them focused on the task. So, look, I think he is. I think he's been a tremendous leader for Australian cricket, and I think he is the right man for the moment, and he is the right man going into the future as well. How long that may be is purely up to him, really, how long he's got the hunger and desire to do it. But I suppose having a bit of a break away from cricket for probably about 4 years, where he was suffering injury and then couldn't even get back into the Tasmanian team, I guess that's where... You know, he's probably a bit fresher than most at his age. So I think, that's the long answer, but there's a few aspects to it. But I reckon he's the right guy.
Tim Payne took on the leadership of the Australian Test side. Cricket Australia were at the crossroads after Sandpaper Gate. And you're right, he's done a magnificent job in being able to restore a lot of respect around the cricketing world and the general public. But I guess now it's at a point where the Australian side is travelling quite well, particularly in the Test arena. So what do you think Tim Payne still wants to achieve as captain of this side? Do you think he has a set goal in mind or a period in time where he will probably hand things over? What do you think his last year or two or three he wants to achieve with this side?
Well, I think first and foremost, he's probably not looking much further than the Test at Brisbane. They need to retain the Border Gavaskar trophy. It's been held by India since 2017. They've knocked over Australia in two series, one in their home backyard in India, of course, and then one in Australia in 2018. So this is first and foremost. The only result they need to do is get a win at the Gabba, and that's the only way they can restore it. A draw won't be good enough, and unfortunately, with a few days of nasty weather up there, and we've seen some weather interfere with the Big Bash in recent times as well. We know it can be a bit stormy in this time of the year. Often that's why they play the Gabba Test first in November, because the weather can get a bit dicey in January. So, look, I think he won't be looking past there, to be perfectly honest. And then he'll just look to attack each series as it comes and keep presenting Australia to be the best team in the world, probably the most organised, the best culture, and also the best performing team, which is where he wants to hang his hat, and he shared that with everyone over the last couple of days as well.
A couple of the other things that he addressed in this article is the stump mic, and obviously that's what brought a lot of this, or highlighted a lot of the issues over the last couple of days. Tim explains that he does like the stump mic still being a part of the broadcast. What are your thoughts on the stump mic, Bryce? Are you a fan of being able to hear what the players are saying out there on the ground, or is it maybe not necessarily in the best interests of everyone?
No, look, I love the stump mic, and not necessarily because you want to hear the cheeky remarks from everyone, but it just gives it brings you right into the action. You can hear the scrape of the spikes on the crease, and maybe that's not such a good thing. That's a controversy in itself when it's Steve Smith in a drinks break. But I guess in terms of the play and the sound of the ball and the bat, would lose all that as well as the comments and the enthusiasm of the players around. I think when it's directed to your team and encouraging the voice in the chat, I think that's terrific. When you're calling other teammates, other opposition players, rather D-heads, and you know, even worse in the past, Australia's been diabolical at that a time. I think, that's certainly not what we want to see. But and I'm not copping in the heat of the moment. It's a passionate game. Our behaviours need to be better than that as cricketers, particularly knowing that everything you say is going to be heard. But there's nothing wrong with encouraging and being passionate, in the support of your teammates and what they do. So I'm absolutely in favour of keeping those mics on. And the players just understanding that their behaviour is reflective and will be heard.
When you were playing, Bryce, how conscious of the stump mic were you, and did it play on your mind at all, or are you actually too focused on playing cricket that you actually forget that it's on?
And I think that's what caught Tim Payne out. He probably just forgot it was on. Yeah. As players, you're just oblivious. It's just a set of stumps, and it's such a sneaky little mic in the middle stump that you don't know it's there. But if you're true to your behaviours and how you want to hold yourself as a elite sportsman, and that's not necessarily talking about myself, but and the Australian cricket team, that's where they're at. You know that they will want to hold themselves in role model behaviours and perform that way as well. So, look, I think you just don't know what's around.
Were you comfortable with the Steve Smith explanation around why he was scratching the batting crease, Bryce?
Yeah, quirky, odd, no big deal. It's how he is. You could see him there. You can see the cogs in his brain ticking over as he pretended to bat like Rishabh Pant as a left-hander. Then he pictured himself, and that's what he does all the time. He's always putting himself in situations. That's why he's so good, in actual fact. And there are any young kids listening on school holidays, that's exactly what the best do. They constantly put themselves mentally into the environment of playing. We all did it as kids, imagining playing for Australian cricket, and he was doing it in that moment as well. What would Rishabh Pant want to face here? What does the pitch look like on his side where he's hitting the ball from? And then he just disappeared into scratching the centre mark. I don't think it was any untoward. If it was a bit cheeky to change the guard, I'd find that hard to believe. I think was just involved around the crease. People are always walking around the crease there. You're allowed to, and you're not allowed to walk on the main part of the wicket. There's a 4-foot marker out in front of the crease. You can walk around and swap sides around that crease area. Players did it all day, and it's just really a no-issue. It's been blowing up pretty high. Let it go, move on.
Yeah, and enough people have come out and defended Steve, and I think we should take them on face value and take Steve on face value as well. I know he's had his issues in the past, and that's probably what amplifies a lot of this conversation, but I think it is fair to give Steve the benefit of the doubt in this particular case, because, like I said, there's enough people that have come out and been more than happy to defend Steve on that issue. I have a question for you, though, Bryce. Nathan Lyon, a lot of talk in the lead-up to the match at the SCG about how important he is to the side and being on the verge of 400 wickets. He hasn't had the greatest series so far against India. Is he out of form, or is he just not getting the rewards that he deserves?
Yeah, strictly speaking, in terms of the wicket column, yeah, he probably hasn't got the return of that he has. And we're getting used to seeing from Nathan Lyon. He is bowling to probably the best players of spin as a collective in the world. The Indians are brought up on that from when they are probably 2 or 3 years old, and when they can pick up a bat, they've played good spin bowling on pretty rough surfaces. So they're very, very good players at spin. So that does make it a bit challenging for him. And just the analysis of his bowling, I think his bowling is fine. There's no issue at all. He's not bowling a bunch of junk and loose balls and that sort of stuff. He's just bowling to his very, very best, who at the moment have the measure. The Gabba's a different one because Shane Warne, many spinners like bowling up there because of the extra bounce. And that might play into a factor. He's experienced up there and he does bowl well up there, Nathan Lyon. So I would anticipate that it might be foreign conditions because it's very Australian conditions, a bit quicker and a bit bouncy. And that sometimes even good players of spin, like the Indians are, you know, playing at the SCG and the Adelaide Oval and things like that. I think that the Gabba presents a whole new different scenario and a different challenge. So I have no doubt in his 100th test he'll be bowling well. And should that mean he gets some wickets for Australia, well, that'd be great. But he has been bowling well. There's no question about that, Matt.
You're listening to RSN Central with Matt Nevitt this morning. We're chatting to Bryce McGain about this fourth test match between Australia and India with the series tied at 1 apiece. And heading into this fourth match, Australia, they are the raging favourites with the tab at $1.45. The draw is at $4.20. And a depleted India are at $7.50. Bryce, without their star bowler, Jasper Bumrah, how do India cause an upset for the ages and defeat Australia at the Gabba, where they have not lost for over 30 years?
It's going to be very, very difficult without Bumrah. And I think it was just a side strainer's workload, and he shouldered a lot of that workload. He bowled tons of overs in those three tests, and it's ended up catching up with him. And he's had to do that because they've had injuries. They've had players injured during the match, so he's picked up the load there. And I guess we've just found out he's not invincible and he's not unbreakable either, which is a shame because we love the way he shuffles in from about 20 yards and then just really takes four steps and whammo, the ball's coming through at 140. It's quite an incredible action and bowling, I guess, idiosyncrasies he has that he's found his way. But it's a real blow for them. What they'll end up now is with a bowling attack that is very inexperienced, and that can be a real challenge. They are still very good. I've got to point that out. They're very good, but they are inexperienced, and that does play into Australia's favour. You would expect there to be maybe more looser deliveries and maybe not quite as quick to adapt to the conditions up there. But one thing that the Indians, you can't deny, is that they've just fought every moment out. They're faced with all sorts of adversity, and most of that has been injuries, but they've found a way, and they're riding this up to their neck. But I think at the Gabba, it's just going to be a long stretch for this depleted team.
Is all the pressure on Australia here in this fourth test match? And if it is, does that then actually play into the hands of India? Because we saw in that fifth day of that Sydney test match when they were, I guess, given no chance of winning, Rispa Pant came to the crease and turned the game on its head when he played with a lot of freedom. Now, India will head into this fourth test match, you know, with this, that's their $7.50, they're clear outsiders, but with, I guess, all of that pressure off their shoulders, does that play into their hands?
Yeah, it does. It does indeed. And that'll be the conversation. There's no doubt that Ravi Shastri will say, look, all the pressure is on Australia here. There is no doubt he will prepare them, and he's been a master at doing that for the whole series, in preparing their mind. It's not all about their skill and how they bat and bowl. He's prepared their mind. The comeback from Adelaide is been touted as the best in Indian cricket ever, and it certainly was, to then go and win the MCG, the Boxing Day Test, and then perform the way they have in Sydney. He's preparing their minds like no other, and they believe, and they truly believe in themselves and each other and as a team to get the job done. So you can't underestimate how powerful that is, and also the fact that you know, they are depleted and they are undermanned, and all those things can really inspire a group. And India have been so impressive. I've been incredibly impressed. What we're witnessing here, Matt, is probably one of the greatest all-time series of in our lifetime. It has been a fantastic series. It's had twists and turns, and every day you think it's going to go a certain way, and it just doesn't because the opposition fight. Now, at different times, that's been Australia and it's been India. It's just been terrific to see. And, you know, that's what we love. We love that about Test cricket, and it's alive and well when these teams are competing the way they are.
Yeah, totally agree. It's had everything this series, all of the drama. It's been brilliant cricket. It's ebbed and flowed, and it's set up for a tantalising fourth test match there at the Gabba, and I can't wait for tomorrow morning for it to get underway. The Big Bash, Bryce, well, that has sort of moved as well a bit over the last couple of weeks, and we spoke off-air about how the Perth Scorchers were the sleeping giants in this tournament. They are now the second favourites with the tab at $3.75, and after the Sixers won via the Duckworth-Lewis method last night, they are now the favourites at $3.25. Are they the two teams to beat now in this tournament?
I think we're zeroing in on a couple of form teams, and it's getting to that pointy end as they sort of run up to the finals. Each team has about four games up their sleeve, four or five, depending on how many they've played, of course. 14 games is that magic number that they get to at the end of the home and away, but not too much home and away this time. Hub and away, I suppose, is the best way to put it. But look, the Sixers, it was a big flex last night, wasn't it? Their cross-town rivals, the Thunder, have got a terrific squad together, terrific players, and they're performing well. But then the Sixers just flexed on them and got the job done, and they're really impressive. And to consider who comes back into that team, Moses Henriques, Abbott as well, Sean Abbott, and he has had an incredible start. These guys are starved of cricket. They haven't played cricket for about a month and a half now. They've been in the nets with the Australian touring team, and because they've had to play their support role there, these guys will be starving to get out there. It does also, they also have Mitchell Starc to come back in as well. Now, I don't think he'll play. I reckon he looks a bit jaded. So I don't think he'll be jumping to get to Big Bash, and you probably don't need him at the moment from a Sixers point of view. You might slot him in for a final if that's the case. But look, the Sixers for me are really, really good. They've got all bases covered. Their players are all in good touch, not in the least Phillippe at the top of the order. He's been sublime and, again, performed last night exceptionally well. So, and the Scorchers, well, they're on a roll, five in a row. You can't deny that. They seem to have all bases covered. Big blows there, though. Colin Munro with a quad. Their international is a blow for them. And, of course, Mitch Marsh. He won't be bowling. He's pulled a side muscle, and that's going to impact his batting as well. So he's hoping to get back towards the end, but there's only a couple of weeks left, so it might be touch and go whether he gets back at 100% fitness. So for me, the Sixers are surging ahead. Keep an eye on them.
Yeah, the Sixers and the Thunder for me look the two teams. Sorry, the Sixers and the Scorchers look the two teams to beat. I wouldn't be ruling out the Thunder just yet, though, because Khawaja hasn't fired all season, really. And if he can get going in the back end of the tournament, they could still be a major threat, I believe. And another side that I still think has the firepower to cause some troubles is the Melbourne Stars, Bryce. But yeah, I just can't get over the fact that Andre Fletcher keeps failing at the top of the innings. And then I see yesterday that Ben Dunk has decided to leave. So they've got some issues, the Stars, but they do still have the firepower to beat just about anyone in the competition.
Yeah, Matt, they do, and that's where I was headed towards. They've got five home games, and that makes them very dangerous. They can settle at home. They're the most travelled team. They've travelled more than any other franchise. Every game has been a road trip. They've travelled to Perth, to Canberra, back down to Hobart, they've been to the Gold Coast, then they go to Perth again. They've been everywhere. And I think they're just looking to settle down. And once they do that, they can be very, very dangerous. It's a game Friday night, the Stars, Sunday night, the Stars at the MCG. Something to get around as well. If you're at a loose end, get to the Big Bash. And I think they're going to start knocking some teams off, and the Renegades as well. The Renegades will knock off a few on the way home, and they can be as dangerous as you like. So there'll be some teams stumbling. One of those teams looks like the Hobart Hurricanes. They look like they're really falling at the last few hurdles here. And teams have worked them out a little bit. And the Strikers, what a blow it is. Well, it's not a blow. You know, we knew that that Khan was going to go at this stage. But, you know, that's like losing Michael Jordan out of the Chicago Bulls. You know, it's just impossible to replace. And it's going to be really tough for the Adelaide Strikers, I would have thought.
Yeah, one of the genuine superstars of the competition, Rashid Khan. And that tomorrow night match, that game tomorrow night, sorry, between the Stars and the Strikers is a must win for both sides. And I'm with you, Bryce. I wouldn't be ruling out the Stars just yet at that $11 quote to win the tournament. They still have a bit to offer, in my opinion. And tonight, well, another huge clash, a must-win clash for the Heat. They take on the Melbourne Renegades. They're at $1.68, and the Renegades at $2.20. Can the Gades go back-to-back, Bryce?
I think they can. you got to look out. This is, and the Heat are those, that sort of vulnerable team that you expect them to win. And as soon as you'd have that expectation, they let you down. And the Renegades, they've found a bit of mojo, and they're going to they will enjoy knocking off some teams. So if the Heat aren't at their very best, the Renegades will get them. They will get them. And they've got nothing to lose. They can play with complete freedom. And they're the teams that are really dangerous in T20 and, you know, in a boxing parlance. Those guys are pretty solid. You know, they've got a glass jaw, but they can keep swinging at you. They can knock you out, and they're dangerous. And the Renegades will be doing that all the way to the end of the tournament.
Yep, and they'll get Sean Marsh back as well tonight. So they might be a little sniff there at the outside quote of $2.20. Hey, Bryce, we appreciate your insight as always here on RSN Central. Enjoy the cricket tomorrow, and we'll catch up with you over the next few days.
That'll be great, Matt. We'll do. Catch you soon.
There we go, Bryce McGain, previewing that fourth test match between Australia and India and chatting a little bit of Big Bash as well as the tournament really starts to heat up now ahead of the last few games of the regular season. It's 4 minutes to 11 here on RSN Central. We'll hit to a break, and then on the other side of that, it's a big four-minute